SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've give up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Tuesday, the 31st of March 2026. It's a day where the Australian share market rose, the S&P ASX 200 up 0.3%. We'll have the details with Chris Breike from StockSpot in a few moments as we go into more detail of the top consumer finance and market news stories covered during On The Money on SBS World News. But first, debit and credit card surcharges will go following a sweeping review by the Reserve Bank, which should also make it cheaper for businesses to accept card payments. For consumers, the most obvious change will be the end of the card surcharge. It's applied by many businesses to cover the cost of a card transaction, which is added to the sticker price. So it often means, say, a $5 latte, for example, ends up costing a consumer more when they pay. But once the new rules are applied at the end of the year, the cost of that transaction needs to be included in the advertised price. Now, while ticket prices may go up if a business passes it on, the RBA says it should be similar to what consumers are now paying under the current system, but perhaps more for those who pay cash. To explain, I spoke with the head of consumer research at Finder, Graham Cook. Graham, first of all, run us through the main changes following this sweeping review by the Reserve Bank.
Basically, what the Reserve Bank has tried to do is bring clarity back to the payment system in Australia, where no longer will you bring your credit card or debit card to the till and pay a surcharge on top of the ticket price. Everything then needs to be included in the ticket price. As a way to help retailers take those surcharges away, they've reduced interchange fees, which the retailers pay, to balance the system overall for more clarity for consumers.
So ultimately for consumers, the ticket price is what they will ultimately see. So that $5 coffee, which they're currently paying $5.10 for on a credit card, once the surcharge is added, will now be advertised as $5.10. Is that right?
Essentially, yes. But if you think about all of the other costs that a retailer has to bear, the cost of heating, the cost of the building you're shopping in, the cost of employment, the cost of the stock they're selling to you, all of that's integrated into the ticket price already. This is just adding banking costs into that as well. So there's no reason to have them as a separate charge. They need to be in the main price, as is the case in most of the countries in the world right now.
Okay. How will the banks react? I mean, isn't there the possibility it means higher credit card fees or even interest rates? And what about loyalty payments or loyalty programs?
Yeah. This is probably the most interesting angle, is the kind of high-end frequent flyer cards, things like insurance and when you purchase travel on your card. When the rumors came out that this was happening towards the end of last year, some of the card issuers came out and said they expect to be able to offer less valuable cards for consumers, so lower frequent flyer and benefits, no insurance, that type of thing. At the time, I did some research for the Australian Financial Review and wrote an article for them comparing the credit card market here to the credit card market in the UK, where credit card surcharges are already banned. Now, if you compare the two, the credit card benefits there are slightly less than here, but overall, they're kind of pretty similar. So I think in the end, we may see a little bit of adjustment, but overall, there will still be high-value credit cards out there for people who spend a lot of money, and the lenders will still be fighting to get those consumers. So I don't think this is going to affect credit card holders who prize those frequent flyers too much in the long run.
Okay. Ultimately, do you think this is fair for everyone?
There's a lot of elements that will play into the final ticket price. In the end, ticket prices will probably go up very slightly, but we're in an inflationary environment right now. There's lots of upward pressure on prices from different angles, and this will probably just be absorbed into all that in the long run. The main argument against this is that it will mean that people who are paying cash will have to pay a little bit more to cover the costs of credit and debit card customers for the retailer. But in reality, the cost of accepting cash is a reality for retailers already. They have to pay to accept the cash. They have to pay for security to bring the cash to the bank at the end of the day to count the cash. And that is not included in the ticket prices as an extra like debit and credit cards are. So really, in the end, this is just clarity for everybody. Everybody pays the same price. You pay what you see on the ticket. And I think in the end, it's going to be good for the Australian economy.
That's Graham Cook there. He is the head of consumer research at Finder.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've give up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Let's go to the Australian share market now, where the S&P ASX 200 rose 0.3% to 8,481. Still, this is the end of the month. So for the whole of March, the index actually tumbled 7.8%. That's the worst monthly result since June 2022. But focusing on today, tech stocks did best, the likes of Xero up 6.6%. The banks were mixed. Gold stocks rose. That oil price is now at $107 per barrel. That's down 7% compared with this time yesterday. And the Australian dollar at 68.5 US cents. For more, I spoke with Chris Breike from StockSpot. So Chris, the market's up today. Why and where are the gains being made?
Look, the market actually opened down, but then it's rallied through the day on new reports that came out, I think, in the Wall Street Journal saying that Trump may be willing to end the war in Iran, even if the Strait of Hormuz isn't open. So it remains partially closed. And I think investors are taking this as a sign that potentially the war might be shorter than feared, which might reduce the risk of a major oil supply shock. I think the winners mainly have been in those areas that are the most oil sensitive. So some of those consumer areas and technology as well.
There are still a lot of uncertainties though, right? Do you think investors are generally too optimistic about an impending end to the war? We even heard from the Egyptian president overnight saying that oil at $200 US per barrel is possible if more energy infrastructure is damaged. You've then got the implication for inflation and higher interest rates, yet the ASX 200 is down only, I mean, I say only 7% since the war started, but it was at a record high when it all happened.
You're right. Look, I think there are clearly risks around a further spike in oil and then the implications for inflation and interest rates. I think the market is balancing that, though, against the strong political incentive the US has to end the war early. I think the market's aware that Trump has his midterm elections coming up later this year, and the last thing he wants is high inflation, you know, potentially higher interest rates and that pressure to raise interest rates in the US. And I think that's what the market's balancing. I think the market's basically calling his bluff, expecting that it will need to end sooner than, it may have in other circumstances.
You mentioned US interest rates. What about Australian rates? We heard from the RBA today, revealed its board meeting minutes of the last meeting. It said while the decision to lift rates wasn't unanimous, all members did agree inflation was too high and that rates had to rise at some point anyway. So to what extent is the market now pricing in future rate hikes?
Well, the RBA minutes today definitely suggested that inflation is too high. And although it was a split decision, basically, the minutes suggested that rates will need to rise further. The market's pricing two or three more hikes this year based on that oil price that we're seeing at the moment of about $100 a barrel. I think there'll be even further pressure if oil rises further from here. Of course, the other factor to consider is employment. And in the US, why there hasn't been as much pressure to raise rates is because their employment situation hasn't been as tight as we're seeing here in Australia. Any deterioration in employment would kind of ease raise the need for the RBA to raise rates, but we're just not seeing that yet. And the minutes were suggesting that the employment market and just generally economic conditions are still pretty tight here.
Any company news you're following today?
Look, there's a bit of company news out there. You know, one of the IPOs that has been watched is Koala, which is a mattress and furniture business, a digital first online business that's existed for a few years now. It's been trying to float for a while and finally got the IPO up, raised $20 million of new capital, and there was almost $50 million of sell down. It's looking pretty strong on its first day, up 11%, which I think will give hope to some of the other floats in the wings. The other interesting one today is the ARN media business. There was news today that Jackie O is now suing them as well. And so you now have Kyle and Jackie O both suing their former employer. The total of the amounts that they're seeking to get back from their employer is over $180 million. And the market capitalization of the business now is only $90 million. So you can understand why that share price was under pressure today. It was down 10%. And I think investors will be, you know, just concerned about what sort of settlement that business may need to have.
Okay. And finally, with everything we've spoken about today, what are you telling your clients at the moment and where do you see the opportunities for them?
Well, StockSpot's very much a long-term investing business. So our reminder to clients at the moment is just not to worry about the short-term market noise. You know, over the last 20 and 50 years, there have been plenty of political, you know, induced volatility and a lot of corrections along the way, but that's absolutely normal. So continue to be diversified across different assets like shares and bonds and gold and just sit tight. There's no need to worry about the headlines.
That's Chris Breike there from StockSpot, and he wraps up the podcast for this Tuesday. Don't forget you can listen to this podcast whenever you like on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And remember, you can watch On The Money during SBS World News weeknights at 6:30. There's another podcast dropping after the market close tomorrow. See you then.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Insight Now has a dedicated live channel on SBS On Demand. That means episodes of Insight play back-to-back non-stop. Go to SBS On Demand, scroll down to the featured live channels, and then select Insight. It's that easy.